Hope Church, I'm so excited to be joining you today on this online service. It's really exciting for me. I've watched from afar the story of Hope Church Newham. I know Mark and Jen really well. We go back many years. And I've even led worship once or twice in the very early days. You'll be pleased that I'm not doing that anymore, I can guarantee you. But I am so delighted to be joining you to speak today. And as I'm preparing, I was going to do one thing, which I was excited about. And then as I prepared, I felt like the Lord really give me a word that I feel is in season for you as a church. And it's a word that I believe God wants to bring to you as a church as you enter this Advent season. It's Advent this week. If you've got a child or some children, they will have been excitedly opening little windows on cardboard boxes, possibly getting a chocolate out as well. Who knows? Our three kids at home have absolutely loved it. I think they're more excited about Advent than they get excited about Christmas. It's been crazy in our house. So it's all begun, Advent. And so we're going to zone in on one of the stories that it captures these moments around the birth of Jesus as we begin looking towards Christmas. And the title of the message for you today is Carrying Hope. Carrying Hope. Of course, it's in your name. It's in your DNA, Hope Church. And I believe that God wants to breathe fresh life into the hope that you carry for your locality and even further afield. So let's dive into the passage. We're going to be reading from Luke chapter 1, and I'm going to read from verses 34 to 45 for us, and that'll probably come up on the screen as well. So let me read from here. At this moment, Gabriel, the angel, has just appeared to Mary. She's stunned and surprised. He's delivered this message that she's going to be with child, and this child is to be called Jesus. He's going to be the saviour of the world. So in verse 34, she asks, "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "Since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be barren is in her sixth month, for nothing is impossible for God." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May it be to me as you have said." Then the angel left her. At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child that you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished." Most days I take a little walk in the park where we live in London. And we've got this sweet little dog. Here's a little picture of Luna. And Luna is a very sweet little puppy. Actually, she's two now, but she yet still acts like a puppy. But we absolutely love her. We have a lot of fun. And one of the things I get fascinated by, I see this, she does this every single day, is that Luna loves squirrels. And so when I go walking in the park, there'll always be a few squirrels on the floor doing their squirrel stuff. And Luna will spot them, and then she'll slightly prowl her way up to them, kind of almost creeping like a lion through the grass of the park. And then there'll be a moment when she goes boom, and she chases the squirrel. And of course, these squirrels are super quick. They're moving so fast, they're dodging around, and they go to the nearest tree and climb that tree. And it's so funny because every time Luna is chasing these squirrels, she'll chase them to the tree. They go up the tree and she'll go whipping around the tree, and then she'll stop and she'll be looking everywhere and she can't figure out where the squirrels have gone. It's like, it's actually quite funny. It's like a comedy act every single day because she's still not worked out that these squirrels shoot up the tree, and she'll stand there looking around for ages, like bewildered, like where's the squirrel gone? Where's the squirrel gone? Looking everywhere, can't find it until she finds another squirrel to chase, and the whole thing happens again. And these squirrels are getting one over on Luna because she doesn't know where they're going. Now, when I was watching this the other day, it just struck me. It feels like it's been like that this whole year. Not that we're all chasing squirrels around parks, although I'm sure that would be fun and that's a good Advent activity maybe to go off and do. But it can feel like we're chasing after things and then we don't know where they've gone. They're vanishing. Things are changing and pivoting all the time. We think that there's a certainty here. We run towards it and then we're looking around. We can't. What happened? What has happened? I know that for some of us who are watching, some of life has been so tragic, difficult, traumatic this year, as we've had to faced into things that we didn't expect, we didn't know, and we just don't know where to turn. We don't know where to look. We feel like we were heading in one direction, and then we don't know where it's gone. We don't know what the next step is. And maybe you're facing at the moment a future that feels deeply uncertain. But you see, if Luna the dog just looked up, she would work out a whole load of things. And I think for us, there's this sense in which, even in this crisis, even in this difficult time for us as a nation and for us as a city, it's a moment, an invitation to look up. One of the things I've kept saying is that this pandemic has been a massive interruption, but actually it's a bigger invitation. It's an invitation for us to look up to him, to recalibrate, to rework out, actually, God, where are you? And how are we going to get hold of you as we step into the future that we know you're calling us to? And so there's this sense in which we need to look up. We need to look up and work out, God, where are you? We need to listen to him. You know, in difficult times, it can so easily get down and the problems overwhelm us and everything is struggling and we're looking down. But God's saying, look up, look up, look up. And when we look up, we begin to discover hope. And that's exactly what happens for Mary in this passage. Mary really is just going about her own business. And there's this moment where she's invited to carry hope. Now, the context in which Mary was living is fascinating to understand. And whilst we might think it's been a very difficult year for us as a nation and even as a globe, and it certainly has been, Mary's context was very difficult for other reasons, but maybe even equally as complex or maybe even more complex. The people of God, we know, had not really heard from God for about 400 years. In the Bible, we get all these prophets that are capturing the word of God and declaring to God. And there are these prophecies that are going on and then silence. All these prophecies about a promised one coming, a Messiah coming, that there's this child going to be born into the world. It's all captured right there in your Old Testament. And it all goes on and then silence for 400 years. And so Mary is the end of a long line of generations who haven't heard a prophetic voice in their generation, who haven't felt that tangible sense of God speaking hope into their generation. And so we might presume that Mary doesn't even know what's happening. She's perhaps unsure and who knows how she's responding, but maybe her expectation of God to break in isn't very high because it hasn't happened for 400 years. Add on to that the reality that her homeland is occupied by the Roman forces. So she's living in a territory that is the people of God's and was given as a promise by God to them, and yet they're an occupying force that are claiming taxes from them, that are oppressing them, that are causing them to struggle. And so this is the context Mary's in at the moment where the angel Gabriel steps in. It's disorientating, and maybe that's how we feel right now. Where's the sense that we're in a situation we don't really want to be in? Mary would have felt that. We don't want to be occupied. We don't want to be occupied by the coronavirus. And it feels like it's messing with our lives, just like the Roman forces felt it was messing with the people of God and their hopes and dreams for the promised land. And as this happens, there's a question for us to ponder. How do the people in this story, this Advent story, this Christmas story, how do the people respond to the inbreaking heavenly hope that Gabriel declares? How do they respond? Well, let's have a quick look at how some of them respond. A few of them are mentioned in the passage I just read out, but I'm going to draw on a few others that I'm going to presume you know already. And first are the two husbands. Well, the husband-to-be and the husband. And women and wives, you can nudge your husbands right now because the husbands don't respond very well. And some of you might be nodding, going, oh, I know that situation. My husband doesn't respond very well either. Who knows? I don't want to start any maritals at home. But the husbands don't actually respond really well. They respond with a sense of disbelief and disqualification when the promise of hope is breaking in. I wonder if that's how you feel. Let's have a look at Zechariah first. So Zechariah is Elizabeth's husband, and he's a priest in the temple. And the angel comes to visit Zechariah to say, your wife, who is elderly and beyond bearing children and has been barren all her life. So she's never carried a child in her life before. She doesn't know what it's like to give birth. Spiritually, maybe they are wondering what would it be like to give birth to hope in a time of such struggle that they're in. And Zechariah is there. The angel encounters Zechariah and tells him what's going to go on. And Zechariah's response is this. I can't really believe it myself when I read it. I can understand it some ways, but other ways I can't. He just says, how can I be sure of this? Because my wife is well on in years. Well, Zechariah, there's an angel standing right in front of you telling you about this. It's like literally physically he can see this angel saying him, and yet he's still saying, how can this be, when actually what seems impossible is standing right in front of him. And of course it is, because God is the God of the impossible, as Mary declared in our passage when we read it. But Zechariah's disbelief ends up meaning the angel says, well, look, you didn't believe. And so you're not going to be able to speak until the child is born and he's dedicated to God. And so from that moment onwards, Zechariah cannot speak. He has to use a tablet to write his words, and he can't speak. And people can't understand what's going on, but they are stunned by what's happening in Elizabeth. I don't know if maybe you feel a bit of disbelief when I might say to you that you're called to carry hope, that hope is breaking in on our nation, that 2021 may be the biggest year of hope that our nation's ever seen. Maybe there's a sense in which you're thinking, oh, that's disbelief. How can that be? How will that be? Things feel barren. Things feel difficult. I can't see a way ahead. And there are lots of good reasons why you may feel like that today. Joseph, who is pledged to be married to Mary, well, he comes with a sense of disqualification. So Zechariah's disbelief, Joseph's disqualification. And it's disqualification because he's like, "What? Mary's a virgin. We're pledged to be married. We're not married yet. This is going to be disgrace on us, on our whole village. Everyone who knows us around Nazareth is going to be talking about this situation." And so we're told, not in this account in Luke, but in the account held in Matthew, that Joseph means to divorce Mary, that he decides, actually, it's better if I divorce. And he's going to do that quietly. It says he's going to do it quietly. So he doesn't want to make a song and dance out of this, but he just wants to disqualify. He's going to disqualify this moment because he can't get his head around it and he doesn't know a way of it. He's thinking, this is impossible. It's impossible for this to happen to Mary. And so let's disqualify the whole thing. And yet again, just like the disbelief, you may feel like this is an impossible situation. What we're facing with this pandemic, what we're facing as a church, as a community, what we're facing as East London, as a city, it feels impossible to really carry hope at this time. It can feel impossible. So you're in good company with Joseph, who felt like that, and he disqualified the idea that hope could even break in. But you know, the wives, or the wife-to-be and Mary, they respond differently. And wives, you can nod knowingly and wisely right now at home. But the wives respond so differently to the husbands. You see, the husbands are with disbelief and disqualification, but the wives, they respond with favour and faith. Let's have a quick look at what they say. Elizabeth, when she's told she's going to be with child, because before the angel Gabriel comes and tells Mary that she's going to carry a child, as we read in our passage, Elizabeth herself is visited by an angel and told she's going to have a baby as well. And I love what it says right here in verse 23 of the same chapter, chapter 1. When the time of the service was completed, Zechariah returned home, having been told by the angel what's going to happen. And his wife, Elizabeth, became pregnant. And for 5 months, she remained in seclusion. She had her own lockdown. She was in seclusion to protect herself because she was an elderly parent. "The Lord has done this for me," she said. "In these days, he has shown his favor and taken away my disgrace among the people." She knew that her barrenness had felt like a disgrace to her, and particularly in her culture, that's how people may have looked at her. And so there's this sense in which, God, you've broken through. And despite the fact that it's a difficult situation, it's not easy for her, this pregnancy, this carrying of ultimately who would become John the Baptist was not easy for her. In fact, she has to be in lockdown for 5 months in seclusion just to protect and look after this baby before then Mary turns up on the scene to be with her. There's this sense in which she's saying, God, you've given me favor. Do you know God is the God of favor, who wants to pour out his favor upon all people? And this is the moment that the gospel writers are capturing, saying, look, God wants to pour out favor. Mary as well responds with a sense of favor. The angel declares to her, you have found favor in God. There's a sense in which the God of love, who has good things in store for those who pursue him, wants to pour out his favor upon each and every one of us. And so Elizabeth knows that this favor of God means that she's carrying something new now. She didn't think she could carry anything. She thought she was way beyond it. She didn't think it was going to be possible for her, but because of God's favor, she's able to carry something. Maybe you feel, I'm not sure if I can carry hope, Pete. I don't know if I'm a hope carrier. I think I'm beyond that now. It's too difficult for me. The mental health issues have become too much. It's too hard to have hope after what we've been through this year. It's too hard with my business or my job that is on the line, or maybe I've lost it and my family is struggling. These things are too hard. I want to encourage you today to take hold of the favor of God And although all things don't necessarily look easy and feel free and easy, sometimes it's a struggle to hit another lockdown, or it's a difficult thing to carry hope. Because of God's favor, you can carry hope today. And then Mary. Let's just turn to Mary, because Mary, adding to this favor, responds in faith. I love what she says in verse 38 of chapter 1. When the angel said everything and he's told her that nothing's impossible and she's going to be with child, she simply responds, "I am the Lord's servant." It's like, come on, Mary. Yes, Mary. This is like scoring a goal. It's brilliant. It's like Chelsea scoring against Tottenham, which I would cheer at. I know that Mark Waterfield is a passionate Tottenham fan, which is why I've just dropped that into the talk there for you. And I'm sorry for anybody else who might support Tottenham or Arsenal, but I'm a Chelsea fan. So when Chelsea score against Tottenham, it's like, come on. And usually I'd send a text to Mark just to let him know that that's happened. Well, this is a moment in the Bible where that happens, where the whole stadium would erupt and be like, yes, Mary, yes, Mary. The angels delivered and said, you are with favor and you're going to be carrying hope for the nations. And Mary responds and says, I am the Lord's servant. It's like, yes, Lord. And her yes to that, that answer is an opportunity for her to carry hope. A hope that's beyond her. It's not just from her or her own reserves. This is a hope that comes from God. It's a gift from God for her to carry. And her yes immediately begins to impact the world around her. You see, when you say yes to the favor of God falling upon you, to God saying, I want to put faith in you and I want to put hope in you. I want to put within you a sense of salvation for all around you. And that's exactly what he wants you to carry. When you say yes to that and say, okay, I'm the Lord's servant. You may think, I don't know how that's going to be. Mary's too young to carry a child. Elizabeth is too old to carry a child. And yet somehow God is breaking through for them to carry stuff. And when you say yes and you say, God, I want to carry that. I'm going to walk with favor and faith to carry hope. The world around you begins to transform. Did you hear what it said when Mary then says she packs her stuff, she goes off to visit Elizabeth. Somehow she knows Elizabeth now is 6 months pregnant and she's going to turn up at Elizabeth's house. And look what happens. I love these verses. You see, when Mary walks in and Elizabeth hears Mary's greeting, verse 41, Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting. The baby leaped in her womb. That Greek word leaped literally means skipped and jumped. Can you imagine the baby, the 6-month-old baby who's not even born yet, at the sound of Mary's greeting, is skipping and jumping inside Elizabeth. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. There's this infilling of heaven as it breaks in on earth, as Mary and Elizabeth respond in favor and faith. And this hope that is birthed within each of them is literally skipping and jumping for joy, despite the challenges, despite Mary and Joseph's relationship being close to divorce, despite Elizabeth being in lockdown, despite the Romans still occupying. They know there's hope. There's something that's coming. There's something that is moving. And why is this baby leaping and skipping? Well, because it knows that Mary is carrying not just hope for that moment, but hope for eternity. You see, the existence, the very existence of Jesus in Mary's womb is a signal to the world of salvation forevermore. That this child was to live, to grow, to give example to and demonstrate the kingdom of God, and then to die on behalf of every single person, and then to rise again, dealing with the sin and death in our lives and pulling us into resurrection life with him. This was the destiny of the hope that was growing in her, the hope of the world. You know, and Elizabeth knew this right there and then. Elizabeth knew what was going on, and I find that absolutely remarkable. Listen to her remark in verse 43. Why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? Do you notice that? There's Elizabeth with Mary, who's just pregnant, with a very, very small baby in her tummy. And there's Elizabeth saying, I'm so favored again. And she's saying that my Lord should come to me. She's declaring that the baby in Mary's womb is her Lord. The Greek word kurios there. And that Greek word kurios is used in the Greek translation of the Hebrew scriptures, the Old Testament. It's used 7,000 times to describe God. And then in the New Testament, that word kurios in Greek is used over 700 times. And almost every time it's to do with describing who Jesus is. And here's Elizabeth before this baby is even out of the womb, recognizing that he is Lord, he's Savior, he is over it all. He is the one that she can put her hope in. You see, God's call on you, on each of us, on me, God's call on Hope Church, that the church that carries this name, Hope, is that each of us would have hope in us today, that we would have hope birthed in us, that we would carry hope to a world that desperately needs it. And that's his call over you this Advent. You know, there's so many reasons in our world right now to carry disbelief or to be disqualified. And we could go on and list them because we see them in our news every day. We feel them on our streets with our neighbours. We're struggling in our communities because of all that's going on. And somehow we can't see a way and there's disbelief. Somehow we think we can't do it and we disqualify even ourselves. There'd be so many reasons to do that. But I want to implore you today, Hope Church, to take hold of the reason to take favour and faith before God. You see, God's call is for that. And his desire is that when you walk into the room, when you walk in to see a friend, when you walk along the street, when you see someone across the park and you're having a conversation, when you're in your workplace, that your very greeting would bring about the power of God at work. Just like Mary, when she greeted Elizabeth, her very greeting brought about the power of the Holy Spirit at work in both of them. And they recognize that Jesus is Lord. He's curious. He's the Lord. You see, God wants to so fill you with his Spirit that your very greeting will be a sign of hope to those around you. And in our post-COVID world that we need to rebuild in 2021, God is giving us an opportunity to declare his goodness again. That as we build into this Christmas, it's the most important Christmas, perhaps forever, who knows, since the first one that Jesus came at. Because we are in a world that desperately needs to have hope birthed again, that desperately needs to be told that there is hope despite the challenge, despite the circumstance. And God calls his people to be carriers of that hope. Jesus is our hope. He's the ultimate hope for the world, and he's the hope for rebuilding a post-COVID world. You see, hope heals. As we carry Jesus, we'll bring healing everywhere where we go. Hope holds. As we carry Jesus, we're going to be carrying his comfort to a world that need to be comforted in their grief and in their loss. And hope heralds. Hope speaks out a different message of declaration that Jesus is with us, Emmanuel. He is born into this world and is alive today by the power of his Spirit to bring about his kingdom. And as hope heals and hope holds and hope heralds, we have to understand, just as Mary and Elizabeth understood, that true hope hinges on the Holy Spirit. That when we're carrying hope, ultimately what we are carrying right here in our day is the power of Jesus Christ at work in us by the Holy Spirit. And so, Hope Church, I want to call out of you the hope to carry to the world the things of God's kingdom. The hope to hold up the name of Jesus, the hope to take hold of favour and faith, just as Elizabeth and Mary did, in order that you might declare with your very greeting the power of God at work in and through you, everywhere where he calls you to be. Let's take a moment to pray. Lord, we ask that by the power of your Spirit, you would come and fill each and every one of us right now. Lord, we know that we can't do any of this without you. We don't have the resources in ourselves. We're tired, we're weary. We end this year recognizing it's not been how any of us would have wanted it to be. And yet, God, at this Advent time, we ask that you might begin to birth hope in us again. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Pour out your hope into every home and every situation where people are watching. Right now, by the power of your Spirit, pour out hope. Just receive him right now. Receive him afresh. And Lord, as you pour out your hope by the power of your Spirit, I ask that your people, working out their callings right there in Hope Church, Newham, God would be able to carry hope in a fresh way this Christmas. Give them strength and confidence as they greet their friends and their neighbours, their families. And Lord, from all that you pour upon them in your favour, may they operate in faith to declare your name. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.